The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. It is page 319 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. In the book of Esther in the Bible, the mysterious providence of God is well revealed. But even so, the word God or the Lord does not appear even once in that book. It is really surprising that the word God is not mentioned, although it is the word of God. And that's not all. Words such as law, covenant, or temples, words that are related to belief, are also not found. On the other hand, the word that is meant to refer to the king of Persia is mentioned 190 times in total of 167 verses. But even so, the book of Esther is full of mysterious leadings of God's hands. Now picture the book of Esther in your head. Xerxes, who ruled the vast region from India to Ethiopia, invited the generals and nobles of Persia and the regional governors to the palace for a banquet to celebrate his ascension to the throne. Now, this banquet continued for 6 months. After the banquet, another banquet was given for a week, to which the people of the citadel of Susa were invited. Towards the end of the party, the king asked the queen, Vashti, to make an appearance so that he could show off her beauty, but she did not come. Although the king's order had to be absolutely obeyed, Vashti did not come, and the Bible does not mention why. So Vashti ended up being dethroned. If Queen Vashti had come to the banquet, then Esther would not have been chosen as queen. Actually, the way that Esther became the queen was also amazing. In principle, only a daughter of a noble could become a queen of Persia, but Esther was not only a child of a commoner, but also an orphan. Esther's cousin, Mordecai, found out about a secret plot to kill the king, and he prevented the plot. This was recorded in the royal records, but Mordecai did not receive any reward for this. But this became the opportunity, providing an occasion to save Israel people. While Haman was carrying out plans to kill all Israel people, the king one day could not go to sleep. So he read the royal records. If the king could not go to sleep, he could have taken a walk or could have called his close subordinates and drank. But among all of the books that were available, he read the royal records, and moreover, he read the part about what Mordecai had done. At the time in Persia,
vangi buruji ani 하였는데 아니하면
If you were not called by the king, you could not go before him, even if you were a queen. It was possible that you could be killed for appearing before a king without being called. Now, in that situation, Ezarzef, who had dethroned Vashti only a month ago, promised to give Esther that he would give one half of the country to her who had come to him without being called, could only be understood as a result of God moving Xerxes' heart. And that Haman, who had plans to kill Israel people, ended up dying by being hung on the tree that he himself had made, could only be explained as the providence of God that would show that those who oppose God's will surely bring about death on themselves. So the king of Persia changed the royal decree that he himself had issued. Now it is hard, even in sports games, for an umpire to change his decision, although it may have been a wrong one, but for the king, who had the absolute power, changed the decree that he had made. This is a work of God that illustrates very well that although the children of Israel may be living in a foreign land, God protects his people. The story about Israel people, including Haman, Esther, and Mordecai, is like a textbook that shows how God could lower those who try to advance themselves and how he could raise those who humble themselves. The person who shows an opposite illustration to Haman is Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. Joseph was sold as a slave to Egypt when he was 17 due to the plot of his brothers, and at that place, during 13 years, he endured a life as a slave and a prisoner. If he had known how long he would have to live in this way, maybe it would have been a different story, but he did not know how long, and so it would have been all the more harder for him for that. If God tells a sophomore in high school, if you endure 8 years of slavery and 5 years of imprisonment, I will make you the Prime Minister of Korea, probably the most would try to endure those 13 years. But this was not the case for Joseph. At the time, a life as a slave did not end in a few months or a few years. Once you became a slave, you were a slave for the rest of your life. And your children, even if children were born, your children would become slaves. And the length of the prison sentence was not predetermined. Time passed and you were either released due to a special order or you were executed. So Joseph's life could never have been easy. After 13 years of such life, which would have been like walking through a dark tunnel, Joseph became the Prime Minister of Egypt, the mightiest empire at the time. It was a dream that the Pharaoh had, which allowed Joseph to ascend to that seat. The Pharaoh dreamed that 7 very ugly and gaunt cows ate up 7 very sleek and fat cows, and dreamed that 7 withered and thin grains swallowed up 7 good grains. Joseph interpreted this dream and became the Prime Minister of Egypt. Now, as most people dream, and God is someone who could change a man's life completely by these dreams that might look meaningless, that most people dream almost every day. Now, chapter 41, verse 50 of the Genesis testifies as follows. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughters of Potipharah, priest of On. Now, Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream was that there would be seven good harvests to be followed by 7 years of famine, and so it was necessary to prepare well for the famine during the times of good harvest. Joseph got married after he became the prime minister. Since it says that he married before the years of famine, it seems that he married during the time of good harvest. So it was a time that Joseph was living the best days of his life. He had power, he had fame, and he also had wealth. It seemed that from the perspective of the world, there was nothing that he lacked. At that time, his first son was born. Genesis chapter 41, verse 51 testifies as follows. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." Joseph named his eldest son Manasseh. Its meaning is to forget. In reality, Joseph probably wanted to forget the painful times of the past. If he could, he probably would have wanted to erase his nightmare-like memories if he could only do so. But this name was not the name of a son who was born while Joseph was living as a slave or was in a prison. It was a name given to a son born when he became a prime minister after he had gone through all of that. So if it were a name given to a son while he was living as a slave or in prison, then that name would have had a lot of bitterness in it. If I were Joseph, it would have been like naming my son as Jung Memory Loss or Jung Eraser. The reason that Joseph named his son as Manasseh, although he was a prime minister, means that this does not mean that he wanted to forget about his past. Rather, it's an expression of faith that God has allowed him comfort. So that he could forget his past. It is a confession that the past 13 years of his life had meaning and that it was lived within the guidance of God. So after he had his second son, this is how Joseph named his son. This is Genesis chapter 41, verse 52. The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Now, Ephraim means to be fruitful. Literally, it means bearing twice the fruit. It means that I have made an effort for 100, but I got to enjoy 200. Joseph is confessing that God is someone who does this. Afterwards, when he saw his brothers coming to Egypt to buy grain, he realized then that there was meaning to how he was sold to Egypt, how he became the prime minister of Egypt after he went through slavery and imprisonment. His brother had sold him out of selfishness and jealousy, but at last he understood that all things were within God's plan. Psalm 105, verses 16 to 19 testify as follows about Joseph's life. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. That God made Joseph go down low as possible in terms of status. Now, this is shown very well in the clothes that he wore. He was wearing a colorful coat that his father had bestowed on him as a sign of his affection. But he came to wear the clothes of a slave, and further lower still, the clothes of a prisoner. But God at last made Joseph put on the clothes of a prime minister of Egypt. And God made Joseph wait until the word of the Lord proved him true. That Joseph was able to meet his family only after 13 years, during which he was sold as a slave and became a prime minister. The 7 fruitful years and the 2 years of famine. And for us too, God determines the timing when the words of God are proven true in our lives. Now, there are times in our lives when we wonder why God does not act in our lives, although it is clear that the timing for such action is now. There was also a time like that for Joseph. 2 years before Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, he had interpreted the dreams of the official in charge of wine and the official in charge of bread. And Joseph interpreted their dreams and earnestly asked that if you are called again to serve, please remember me and tell Pharaoh about me so that I may be released from this prison. I did not do anything bad that is deserving of being here. But the official in charge of wine did not talk about Joseph with Pharaoh. In fact, he forgot about Joseph and didn't think much of what Joseph had said to him. So after 2 years had gone by, and Pharaoh told his dreams to his subordinates and servants, and no one could interpret his dream. Only then, the official in charge of wine remembered Joseph and what he had said. If that official had remembered clearly what Joseph had told him and told Pharaoh about him, and so Joseph was able to be released, he could have gone home and returned to his family. Then, there would not have been a way to deal with the famine that followed. The family of Jacob would not have moved to Egypt, and there would not have been the exodus of Israel people leaving Israel 400 years later. Are there times in our lives and our families when we wait with all our hearts for God to act, and yet we cannot discern the touch of God? It is God who decides the end point of our waiting. Sometimes it seems that God's grindstone turns too slowly, but because of it, a very fine powder is made. If we wait for God, God ties the end knot for us without fail. Such knot is more beautiful, more holy, and more abundant than any knot which is made by men. Those who wish to raise themselves up cannot but be lowered, and those who wait quietly and endure the lowering of God will be exalted by God. Last week, we shared about the heart of Jesus Christ, which we are to embrace and emulate. Jesus Christ is the same as the Creator God, and yet Jesus Christ did not stay at being God, but came to us as a man. And furthermore, he came in the most lowly status. Isaiah chapter 53, which prophesies about the coming of Jesus in the form of a servant, uses these words: no stately form or majesty, despised, forsaken, oppressed and afflicted, and yet did not open his mouth and was assigned with the wicked man. Jesus actually lived exactly like that for 33 years. While I meditated on Jesus, who has come to us in the form of a servant, I thought of a song called I'm Sorry, I'm So Ugly, which was sung in the past by Lee Joo-il, a comedian. I'm sorry my face is so poor. If my face were good-looking, I would be in the front. If I had good body, I would have squared my shoulders. But still, I could not cry because I am a man. So to let go of bitterness in my heart, now quietly, quietly, I want to show that I am worthy of your respect. I am sorry my face is so poor. No matter how I look at it, that's the way it is. There were heartaches in the days past, but still, I could not cry because I am a man. So to let go of bitterness in my heart, now quietly, quietly, I want to show I'm worthy of your respect. Now, the original prototype of an ugly man is actually Jesus. A comedian gets applause just by making people laugh, but Jesus came to earth to reveal something to us. The Lord gave us eternal life. He showed us this eternal life, but people thought of him only as a laughingstock. People also thought of his dying on the cross as something to laugh over. But today's text shows very well how God treated Jesus. Verse 9 testifies as follows, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." God exalted Jesus, who had lowered himself. This is the principle of God. The laws of the world provides that those who package themselves, those who take others' things and make them theirs, and those who show a better version of themselves will reach a higher station. That's the only way to reach a higher station. But this is not something, this is not an order that God had decreed. It is an order which is made by the fallen men. So people think that they will look better if they hold a brand bag, although it may be a fake one and not a genuine one, and that they must say that they graduated from a good school in order to be acknowledged by others, even if they have to lie. This is not all. Although a human being is not like a tree, like a bamboo tree or a pine tree, people judge successful ones or the failures by their height. And further, although people are not like, you know, cows or pigs, people judge others based on weight, believing that those who weigh less somehow equates into being better people. In particular, the big issue these days among young people is having the right specifications, or spec for short. Now, this word was added to Korean dictionary in 2004 as a new word. The dictionary meaning of this word is as follows. Totality, total value given to a person with respect to education credentials, grades, and test scores among people who are looking for jobs. And to these, whether one has different licenses or the experience of studying abroad or working as an intern are added. So the word spec is meant to refer to all these qualifications. Now, the initial meaning of the word specification is a detailed explanation about a product. But a person is not a product that can be evaluated based on schools one attended, or grades, or English-speaking ability, or different experiences. A person has been created in the most mysterious, unfathomable way, a being which was created to be little lower than God. But a man is not a being that could bootstrap himself into being more. Now, these days, new electronic goods with cutting-edge technology are shown in the marketplace. In particular, this is true for smart TV, 3D TV, and smartphones. Now, we want to look at TV programs with such televisions that offer more reality. And further, to get market share for the next generation 4G market, the manufacturers are at war with one another. And the users also try to be the first person to use these brand new goods and try to show off the fact that they are the first users. But regardless of whether it is a TV that has the best quality screen or whether it is a mobile phone that has the best communication quality so that you can connect to high-speed internet without interruption while we are traveling on KTX. If these goods are not connected to electricity, and if they are not charged, they are nothing but just steel, iron, junk. Maybe if it is a TV, it could be used as a frame, or a mobile phone could be used as cracking nuts. But truly, what makes a TV function like one, like a TV, and what makes a mobile phone function like a mobile phone is not whether it is the latest model, but it is the electricity. If an electronic good that does not function, even if it's connected to electricity, soon just becomes a junk. Now, a lot of people want to have so-called better spec. But if a life is not connected to God, who is the eternal source of power, then their life will soon be like a mobile phone that has used up its battery. Maybe now one could be confident that he or she is 100% charged and have no doubts about being able to make one's own way. But as the years pass, we cannot but acknowledge that it is God to whom we are connected, who leads us in the right way, and who shapes us into who we are. Therefore, there is no wiser life than life in which one humbles himself or herself in expectation of God. No better way of faith. In the same way that God has exalted Jesus Christ, who had went down to lowliest of places, if we live in this way, we will experience God exalting us at His time. Today is the anniversary of the foundation of our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. During the past 6 years, our church has tried our best to wait for God at a lowly place without revealing ourselves. Our church, which was established on July 10, 2005, selected a motto of living sacrifice for the year 2006. This was because we could not take care of Yangwajin 4 Missionary Cemetery and Yongin Martyrs Korean Christian Memorial without giving up our stubbornness and arrogance as offerings to God. And furthermore, without such sacrifices, we would have tried to go ahead of God. 2008 motto for the church was Yagin and Boaz. Yagin, which was the right column in God's temple, signified the meaning, God will establish. And Boaz, which was the left column in the temple of God, meant God has power. No matter how hard we try to establish our lives, our families, or our church, if God does not become our Yagin and Boaz, all our efforts would end like just water bubbles. So Yagin and Boaz could only be experienced by us when we wait for God in the right way. 2009 motto for our church was Future and Hope. God is our future and our hope. So we were able to have our church despite difficult conditions. At the end of 2008, I sent a message to all members of our church. I thought about what words that I would send, and the lyrics of the song called "All the World Causes Us Hardships" came to my mind. So my message read, "Although the world causes us hardships, let us live with God, who is our future and our hope." Later, I've heard from many members that they store their message on their mobile phones and look at it when they're having difficulties. 2010's motto was "Only by my Spirit." This motto signified that our church will be with God with all our hearts. And we will be together with people whom God has sent to us to be with. And so this was a commitment for us not to rush ahead of God, that we will walk with God, and that we will offer ourselves to God for the works He wants to carry out. This year's motto is "Wait for the Lord." This signifies that in the same way that we have been waiting on the Lord, we will continue to wait with our hope in the Lord. On the surface, waiting may seem like a very passive and helpless word, but this is definitely something that you cannot do unless you are strong. In particular, it is not possible unless you have true inner strength. So Psalm 27, verse 14 testifies as follows: "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." And in waiting for the Lord, the focus is not on waiting, but on the Lord. When our waiting is not on the Lord, but something else, it is either likely to be totally useless or of little help, if any. If our lives, our families are messed up and are broken, the fundamental reason for that is probably because we have become tired while we were waiting on something other than God. Jesus took on the cross so that our broken lives will never be broken again. Looking back on the past 6 years of our church, there are so many things that God has done for us. No, we should actually say that there is not one thing that God has not done for us. There was no one among us 6 years ago who thought that the Foreign Missionary Cemetery and Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial would look like the way they do now. And no one dreamed that we will come to worship here together like this during the six-year anniversary worship service 6 years ago. All these are the doings wholly of God. And we, yet again, wait for the Lord, having taken heart and with courage. This is because the best things that God had planned for us have not yet come. 6 years later, we will once again be surprised at how God has shaped us. In the same way that God exalted the name of Jesus Christ, who lowered himself to the point of death, rise above all names, if we lower ourselves and humbly serve God, God will raise us up and our church. Let's not forget, humbling ourselves is something that we must do, and exalting us is something what God does. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to confirm once again on this Sunday of our church's sixth anniversary that those who try to exalt themselves will be lowered, and those who humble themselves will be exalted by God. Allow us to remember that when Jesus Christ, whom we serve as our Lord, went to the lowliest of places, God exalted him to a place that cannot be compared with those who are at the highest places in the world. And by remembering so, lead us to walk the same path. 6 years ago, we did not know each other. We lived in different areas. And even if we lived in the same area, we were all strangers to one another, passing each other by. And some were living abroad. And there were people among us who had no interest in God. And yet, you have called us to this place. And we thank you that on this day, July 10, 2011, we are able to worship you at this place. More so than the past 6 years, more so than the 6 years to come, and even beyond the next 60 years until the day of the Lord's coming, may our church take heart and be strong and become the community which knows to wait on the Lord. May we be made to love one another, forgive one another, participate in others' pains, and thereby know how to serve each other. May our service not be a matter of our pride, but your grace, our thanksgiving to you, so that our church will be not be a church of men, but church of God. And allow us to stand in the right way before you. May we not turn our lives into our empires. May we acknowledge you and turn our lives into temples of the Holy Spirit, which follows the leading of the Spirit, so that we may wait on you all the days of our lives. And help us not to forget to make our families into your church. May we acknowledge your sovereignty in all the big and small matters that happen in our families, and wait each member of our family, make each member of our family to wait on you with strength. And so may each of our days be Memorial Day of our church's founding and the founding of our lives and our families. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.